We're going to start with John Sim, one of our most familiar TV actors. Amongst other successes in recent years, he's played Inspector Sam Tyler in Life on Mars and the Master in Doctor Who. He's been Vincent van Gogh and Raskolnikov in a screen version of Crime and Punishment. Now in a three-part drama series, Exile, he's playing something of a prodigal son, returning to be with a possibly prodigal and certainly confused father, played by Jim Broadbent. It's part psychological drama, part mystery and investigation. That's the state of play, isn't it?
It is indeed, as it were. Yeah. It's another journalist, like State of Play, but a very different journalist than the one I played in State of Play.
Yeah.
He's a bit of a celebrity snooper. He's not a nice man.
No, at the beginning, at any rate, you're pretty well established as a nasty sort of hack.
Yeah. He's
nasty person, really.
Yeah. He's at quite a low ebb in his life, and something happens at the beginning, and he decides to go back up north and see his father, his estranged father, who he hasn't seen for 18 years, played by the brilliant Jim Broadbent, who's deep in the grip of Alzheimer's. And he tries to uncover the reason, the reasons behind him leaving, which something really terrible happened.
And, yeah.
So he's got to get to
So it's an intriguing setup. There's some sort of scandal or some sort of story. There's some sort of reason that he turned on you.
Yeah.
And you're in exile in London and you're returning to the north.
Yes.
I suppose is the meaning of the word exile. But because your father's got Alzheimer's, it's quite hard for you to find out what is going on.
It's very difficult. He's been looked after by his sister, played by Olivia Colman. And so everybody's angry with him. Nobody likes him. He's, he's not a nice person. And his dad was a fantastic crusading journalist. Mm. And so he goes back and tries to redeem himself.
And without giving too much of the plot away, you manage to even annoy your old school friend accidentally before you even get going.
Yeah, so. I do something really terrible by accident. Yeah. Sleeping with an old friend's wife. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. He's not a nice guy, let me say.
So everything's going on there. Now, I've been given the nature of these things. I've been given the first two episodes, so I know, but I don't know how it all resolves, which is probably just as well.
Probably.
So I'm not so tempted to give it away, but a jolly good part to get.
Oh, fantastic. It's a brilliant script. Danny Brocklehurst wrote it, and it's Paul Abbott came up with the idea, who wrote State of Play, of course.
Yeah.
So it's quality, all round, and it's a fantastic part.
Yeah. No, but recently you've been on stage playing Hamlet, so that's...
Yes.
People maybe not associate you with acting in the theatre like that. Obviously one of the greatest roles of... that you can get.
Mm, yeah, it was an incredible experience. I came straight from Hamlet, straight onto Exile. I mean, I wasn't going to do anything afterwards, but, you know, it was too good to turn down Exile, really. I could have done with a rest after Hamlet, because I'm 40. You know, it was hard work, but brilliant, brilliant experience, incredible.
And before you were an actor, you were in a band. Was that going to be your real thing in life?
Yeah, well, that's what I used to do. I used to do the clubs when I was a kid with my dad and did all the Northern Clubland circuit. I was in a band while I was an actor. We split up about 7 years ago, and we supported Echo and the Bunnyman and went on tour. So I kind of did a little bit of everything. I'm quite happy with it.
So that was right. Magic Alex with
yes,
the band?
Yes, yes.
Well, that's not funny. That's a perfectly reasonable name.
Yeah.
It's better than Echo and the Bunnyman.
Yeah. so any chance of Magic Alex reforming?
I don't think so. I mean, we you know, you can buy the music on iTunes, folks. We released one album, and no, I don't think so, because we're all grown up and we've all got families and live in different parts of the country and
busy.
I know,
but see, Hugh Laurie had this desire to be a musician. He kept sort of, not exactly quiet about, but held it within him, and now it's coming out now, and he's getting a chance to record and to start. So this could be you in the future, do you think?
Well, I really do think I scratched that itch, you know, all that touring and driving around in vans and recording, and it was great fun, but... I'll just concentrate on this, I think.
You're happy on the acting?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Now, State of Play, we mentioned already, that was a big success. And, of course, it was turned eventually into a Hollywood film.
Mm.
So did you get the chance to pitch for your own role? Or was
no.
Because I think Russell Crowe got your part, didn't he?
Yeah, it was originally supposed to be Brad Pitt, and then it was Russell Crowe. And they gleefully told me that they'd got these people in, and I don't know what they expected my reaction to be. Oh, congratulations.
Oh, they're really good.
That's really great, yeah.
Are you sure that's right?
So I didn't watch it.
You didn't even go and see it?
I haven't seen it, no. I saw it.
Well, I saw it, it wasn't as good.
It's not
as
good.
Thanks. Oh, shucks. Cheers.
Well, I had to change it from a TV series and compress it into a film.
Well, that's
and
what I figured,
then to America, obviously.
Yeah.
But, you know, the casting was
Well, we had, 6 hours to tell that story, and they had two, so... yeah, I don't know how they would have got it all in, but I've got no intention of watching it. I'm quite happy with mine in my head.
Really. Right. And is there any chance of a sequel or anything, you know, spinning off from that?
I don't know. There was talk of it just after we'd done the first series of State of Play, but then Paul started doing Shameless, and of course that obviously took over his life. So I don't think there will be now. It's been too long. And also, you know, Bill Nighy and Kelly MacDonald and James McAvoy, they've all gone off.
Their careers are superstars, really, haven't they?
Yeah. Where are they now?
Yeah. And what about Doctor Who? Because, as I mentioned, you're the master in that.
Yeah.
In the nature of Doctor Who, you can always come back, or they could always replace you with Russell Crowe, obviously.
Of course they could, yeah. In the movie version, I'm sure it'll be Russell Crowe.
Would you be interested in doing any more Doctor Who's, do you think?
I'd certainly have a look at it if they sent me the scripts. I think Stephen Moffat, who's taken over the mantle of it now, is an excellent writer and very different to Russell T. Davies. So I would be really interested in how he would write for the Master, and so I would you know, definitely have a look at it if they mentioned it, yeah.
Right, okay. So, there's a brief summary of your career, but how did it get going in the first place? Because did you always know you were a performer? Do you come from a performing family?
Well, yeah, like I said, my dad was a club artist, so I literally grew up in dressing rooms, in clubs, really, and watching him perform. And then
a musical performing artist?
Yeah, he was a guitarist, vocal harmony, you know. So when I was old enough, we did the clubs, and we toured for about 5 years. We did like the Beatles and the Shadows and the Everly Brothers, and you know, just vocal guitar harmony. Not quite as good as the Leisure Society, you know. It was the same, similar kind of thing.
And
real trial by fire for a young boy, especially in like the 70s and 80s, in clubs in Bradford and Leeds, and you know.
Yeah.
So, but it was a hell of an experience. And
but then you went to a music and theatre school in Blackpool. Was that how you got going?
Yeah, so it was a kind of a foundation course in Blackpool, and I did sort of musical theatre and did West Side Story and Guys and Dolls, and then decided that I didn't want to do that, which was good, so I got that out of the way. And then joined amateur dramatic societies on my own and did Amadeus and Billy Lyre and things like that, and straight plays. And then ended up going to the Drama Centre, which is a real sort of Stanislavski-based training. Yeah. For 3 years in London.
Yeah. Mm. So now you're obviously very well established in acting career. So you come from up north and you go home yourself, presumably. So is there anything you relate to in this part you're playing?
Absolutely. I can relate to that lonely drive up north, and you know,
stopping off and having a line of cocaine.
Yeah,
as happens in the TV show.
Yeah. Yeah. And sort of going back there, you know, and being golden boy, and people sort of saying, remember your roots, and they always sort of overcompensate, and so you go, yeah, you're not that big now, not to me, you're nothing here, you know. You think, all right, you know. So it's a strange one,
but they still want to claim they were at school with you, or they knew you when you were a boy.
Yeah.
Anyway, well, Exile, I think it's on three consecutive nights, starting this Sunday at 9 o'clock on BBC One. So we've got to make it through to Tuesday to find out what was it all about.
Yeah,
along the way. Well, thank you very much, John Sim. Now
thank
we're going to have.